You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good morning. And how about them Lakers? Woo! It is time to skip the BS, time for Undisputed, time for Paul Pierce and Keyshawn Johnson and I to talk about one of the best regular season games I have ever watched. Lakers finally winning in double overtime in Milwaukee with LeBron doing no more than cheerleading in street clothes. Lakers twice came from 19 down, second time over the final 8 minutes of regulation. Crazy plays, wild swings, bad calls. So many big blocks and big shots and clutch free throws made by the Lakers. And the Lakers pulled it out, and they pulled it off. 128 to 124, instant classic. Paul Pierce, good morning to you, sir. You didn't give the Lakers a whole lot of shot in this one.
No, I didn't.
I guess nobody did. But what in the name of Magic Johnson happened last night in Milwaukee?
Well, one, Anthony Davis looked like the best player on the planet.
He
I mean, Austin Reeves, looked like Austin Larry Bird Reeves once again, like he did in Boston.
Yeah.
And then D'Lo looks like an all-star again. Why is this a coincidence that these guys play like this without LeBron? I mean, I just think they play freer, though. They don't play with any pressure. And you look at it and you say, hey, all right, you add LeBron to this mix after what we saw last night, that this team is a contender.
Yep.
Maybe so, maybe not. But the reality of it is they're not going to play like this when LeBron is out there. The ball distribution doesn't move like this. So that makes you wonder, and that's not what I said last week. I think they're a better team if LeBron pulls back a little.
Okay, but you're not saying that they're a better team without LeBron.
No, I'm not saying they're a better team without LeBron. Not at all. They can't win a championship without LeBron.
No.
But they can win games like this on any given day. But it just goes to show you what type of talent is on the Lakers. Because they don't need another superstar. They don't need another player. They have all the ingredients is here. I just think it's all on LeBron. When you look at this team, they beat Boston and Boston, Milwaukee and Milwaukee. Do we not consider these two teams contenders?
Mm-hmm.
Two of the top five teams in the league?
Yep.
When you see Giannis get 29, 21, and 11 and not be the best player on the court, what does that say?
Yep.
It says AD needs to be the man for the Lakers to go far. And I think a lot of that has to do with LeBron pulling back and allowing these guys to free up. And maybe the Lakers can become a contender. But I'm optimistic now after I see a game like that.
More optimistic than you have been.
Yeah, I'm more optimistic than I have been when I see games like this.
Okay, does LeBron sit over there on the bench last night and compute this? And he's got the highest IQ in basketball. Is he watching this? Do you think it's hitting home to him? Maybe there's a better way to do this. Maybe I do need to pull back and, I don't know, orchestrate a little bit more, distribute a little more. Lower usage rate, whatever.
Yep.
Do you think he thinks about that while he's watching this unfold?
I think he has to be thinking about that. I mean, I think you can move LeBron off the ball a little more. Let's put him in the post. Maybe sometimes spot up in the corner and allow D'Angelo and Reeves to play make, as we saw last night. They can make plays.
They can.
Obviously. D'Angelo showed he can pass. Reeves showed he could be a playmaker, and you can play a three-man triangle with these guys, and that gives LeBron a little more rest throughout the course of the game when he's playing 35-plus minutes. He doesn't have to do everything for his team to win.
By the way, D'Lo had 12 assists, and Austin Reeves had a triple-double with 10 assists, so they can pass the basketball.
Absolutely.
They're not LeBron, but they can pass the basketball.
Not going to happen, though.
Not going to happen.
It's in his DNA.
I agree.
Too late.
It's in the DNA.
Year 21.
You get out there, Skip, It's your body. It's a your clock is telling you.
I understand.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
But it was an amazing win. I mean, when you look at it, they've swept the Bucks this year without LeBron. Okay. They gone on the road. They beat them. We saw what they did at home against them. They took care of the Celtics, like you said. And AD, as I said before, everything's gonna go through him. I understand. We tend to push it all toward LeBron because it's LeBron. But the Lakers, not even offensively, defensively with Anthony Davis. Even though Giannis was able to get his buckets, it's just his rim protection. Dude had 16 defensive rebounds. So that tells me right there, there's no second shot opportunities for Milwaukee in these situations.
Good point.
When you got 23 rebounds and 16 of them was on the defensive end, that's what you're doing. You got a couple steals.
Mm-hmm.
You have four blocks.
Four blocks.
And then that play at the end of regulation against Dame Lillard.
First overtime,
First overtime. Mm-hmm.
Right.
He made a great defensive play because he kind of stayed in between. He didn't leave Giannis too early, left him at the right time. Because if he'd have slid out underneath Dame, all Dame was going to do was lob it up to Giannis. Game over, set, match.
Yep.
So they have the recipe for success. Can they move their eyes and a sight up? Meaning, can they look at the sixth seed and get there? Can they get there? Because this road trip, they can win the next five games and come out of this thing undefeated and back at home against Cleveland.
Yeah, I saw them 4-2 on this road, but once they won this game, they can possibly win. They can go undefeated on this trip.
Now you go undefeated on this trip, and in these six games that they playing, you know Phoenix is going to drop something. The Kings are going to drop something.
They are.
So you know what you have to do. Can they do it, though? Can they seize the moment? Or are we going tonight?
Yeah, starting tonight.
Okay, scratch our head tomorrow morning and say, man,
correct.
What the? Are we going to do that against the Grizzlies?
Exactly. All right. Before I rave about the Lakers, allow me to put this game in the biggest perspective, which is Damian Lillard perspective. I'm not the biggest Dame fan. I know it's Dame time. It was more damn time last night for Bucks fans because that was just horrendous. The reason this happened, the number one biggest reason this happened was that Damian Lillard shot 9 of 29 and he shot 3 of 14 from 3. If he doesn't do that, this was obviously the Bucks game to lose. They had them twice by 19. They had them early and late by 19. And if Dame does what he has often done, we're not even remotely having this conversation because it was real close with 8 minutes left in the game to Darvin Ham saying, okay, that's enough of this. I'm yanking my starters. Let's just wait for Memphis tomorrow night, as you thought would probably happen. Mm-hmm. And it looked like that was going to happen in the first quarter because they go up 19, right. And Dame did make a couple of shots. And then here we went. And if we get down to the 9-minute mark of the game, Dame made a pull-up 16-footer that gave them a 19-point lead. Lakers missed a three, and I think we have the shot. But we come right back down, and Dame's got a three. And if he hits this, they go up 22 with 8 minutes left. I don't think just psychologically, once you get over the 20 mark with 8 minutes left, this is the Dame shot. He comes up and pulls up.
Yeah, he hits that, then you can pull your starters for the Lakers.
Yeah, that would be this is it right here. And it was a pretty good closeout. And it was close. Okay, so, and then here they come, and the Lakers end up going on a 26-7 run to close it out. And Anthony Davis makes two threes over that run, which I didn't see that coming. And I don't think anybody saw that coming. But the point is, Damian Lillard, this is just me, the big picture on Damian. I know this is the trade of the year, and this is make it or break it, and they went and got Doc. I don't know. I've never been sold. I know you got some issues here and there with different people, but I've never been sold on Damian as that guy. I'm just not sure. So we're about to find out because they've had their moments and it looked like they were starting to catch fire with Doc. And now this was a bad sign because that's on Dame. And it's in part on Giannis because in the second half, neither Dame or Giannis did very much. And if you can hold both of those guys, they almost played 50 minutes apiece. Mm-hmm. And if you can hold both of them to under 30 points over 50 minutes, you have a chance to win at Milwaukee. And the Lakers played some defense. And listen, Austin Reeves,
Austin, Larry Bird, hey, Reeves.
Yeah, but listen, on the defensive end, he took Dame a lot, and he did a pretty good job of just bothering him, just nagging him, just irritating, mm-hmm. just hanging with him. And I wanted to show a play that I thought set a tone for the game. It was a couple of minutes left in the first half. If we have the block, this is Austin Reeves on Dame. Austin Reeves on Dame, and that's pretty good defense. And I think it sent a message to Dame like this kid ain't just going to go away. I can't just abuse him all night long. And he bothered a lot of Dame shots all the way through. So he will, whatever he's got in him, he will give it to you. And Austin Reeves can also close for this team. And he, listen, over the two overtimes, he was the high scorer for the Lakers by far. He scored 9 points in the two overtimes. So he made a bunch of big shots. And then I got to credit the Lakers because would you believe that in the second half in the two overtimes, they made all 21 of their free throws, and they needed every last mm-hmm. one of them. But, Paul, if you go 21 or 21, it just they're called free throws for a reason. So mm-hmm. it gives you a chance to hang with a team that clearly was superior to you last night.
Well, Lakers right? are always going to have a chance. They shoot the most free throws.
They do.
By far.
By far.
By yep. far. It's not even close. I mean, so you got to factor that in. It's just the ball distribution with this team.
Yeah.
But like Keyshawn say, can they play this way with LeBron? That's the key. Because when you look at it, you just beat Milwaukee, and you're like, they got to be a championship contender. Oh, you throw LeBron with this team that just – Oh, they just beat Milwaukee where Anthony Davis goes for 34 and 23 and Austin Reeves looks like Larry Bird and Magic yeah. put together. You add LeBron to that, this team can win it. But then you look up and they're a 10th seed, 9th seed.
Yep.
It's not – the math is not mathing.
No.
You know, so can they play this way? And can LeBron from the sideline when he see these games look and say, no. All right, this is what we have to do.
No.
This is what I have to do.
No.
For us to win.
It's in his DNA naturally. It's just that I know you want Austin Reeves to be the closer. Not going to happen with LeBron on the floor. He may get an opportunity if something, you know, if it's the right play, the right pass for LeBron, but it's just, it's LeBron, man. They're not going, it's just one of those deals where that switch, whatever it is, scared, nervous, don't want to show him up because I'm smaller than him. Whatever that is,
yeah.
that kicks in, Skip, with LeBron James on the floor. The reason the Lakers and Anthony Davis was able to play the way he did last night, too, another note, he was out of foul trouble.
Yeah,
he had one foul.
Man,
one
he
foul.
Has to be the guy.
You know?
He has to be the lead guy.
Listen.
If they're going to win another title, he has to be. I truly believe he has to be the lead guy.
Yes,
he does.
That's true. But they shrink for whatever reason when LeBron comes on the floor. Whatever that is. Whatever it is, as I said to you a long time ago, when Max Christie came in the game, this was the regular season months ago, he came in the game, Paul, he crossed half court, he could have drove to the beacon, he said, here, mm-hmm. you take it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, but that's what LeBron creates.
Yeah, he adds tension.
And not intentionally.
He adds tension.
Yeah.
And
no,
not
he
intentionally,
does.
That's
no,
what
right.
it is.
He adds tension to his teammates, definitely. I mean, he's not, I've heard teammates say it's tough to adjust to LeBron, to play with him. You know, it was tough for Wade and Bosh to play with him. It was tough for Kevin Love and these guys. But at the end of the day, you're not going to win with him. I'm not saying that. You're not going to win a championship without him, I mean.
Yeah, without him.
Without him. You're not going to win the championship without him. But there's an adjustment period, I think, at this age that he can make to make this team a lot better.
Okay. But on Anthony Davis, I agree with you. You saw like a nuclear warship last night. You saw a guy who's as dominant as any player in the league. But every other day we come in here and say, where was he last night? And then every third day we seem to come in here and say, well, he got banged up again. He's always banged up. Well, he got banged up last night. He actually banged knees last night and they were treating his knee through the whole fourth quarter. And guess what? More and more, I see him sucking it up and saying, I'll just play through it. And he played a bunch. That's his career high, 50 minutes, right? Okay. So, Keyshawn, were you impressed? We've been down on him. You've been critical of him. We've all been critical of him. Lil Wayne wanted him traded early in the season. And it seemed to light a fire under AD.
But he's played, if you look at the course of the season without LeBron on the floor, He's played like this.
Yeah.
It's not that he can't do it. It's not that you down on him. You want more of him. Expect more of him. When you and guys that are paid high salaries, okay, can't count anybody else's money. But the reason you pay that type of money is because you are the alpha. You're the dog. You're the guy.
You're the guy.
In every sport. Mm. The reason they pay Paul Pierce what they paid him because he can knock down shots.
Yep.
And the reason that they pay AD what they pay him and extended him is because they believe in him. So when all of a sudden you look up and he gets in the nose and he's got to go out.
Yep.
Or he bangs knees and he goes out. Or he falls to the floor and he misses. You know, that's when people criticizes him.
Yep.
But he has the ability to be one of the top five players in the NBA far. Night in and night out.
Night in and night out.
If Giannis can do it, and the Joker can do it, how come he can't do it? And Embiid can do it when he's healthy. Why can't he do it?
I saw a player that could be the best player in the league. Kid.
Yeah.
I mean, because what he did offensively, but what he can do defensively. He can change the game on both ends.
He
rebounded at a high level. He can rebound like Giannis. Giannis had 20-plus rebounds, too. The only thing that's missing from his game is maybe his passing.
Yeah.
But everything else is there. And like I said, when you see a guy get 29, 21, and 11, Giannis, and wasn't the best player on the court, that's unheard of.
Mm. All right, let's look at the first big controversial play because it happened with 14 seconds left in regulation, and D'Lo drives it to his left. He's left-handed, obviously, and goes up, and it sure looked like he got fouled here, and they call nothing.
Oh.
They call nothing. And then the Bucks challenge and win the challenge about the ball going out of bounds, and they get the basketball. So there's no foul called, and they get the basketball.
I mean, you could have – it was a ticky-tack because he went straight up.
I don't know.
It looked like at the end he came down with the hand.
I think he gets him with both hands.
He came down with the hand. I mean, at the end, it's hard to make a call like that, though. You got to leave it
in Milwaukee.
You can't. The refs wouldn't get out of there alive.
Well, I couldn't help thinking about what Chris Paul called Tony Brothers, the TikToker,
and Tony
right?
called the game, right?
Well, he was the guy. Yeah, he was the guy. Was he right. TikToking last night? I don't know. And then at the end of the game, this is regulation, Giannis got an alley-oop that I thought he was just going to lay it in, and it looked like he didn't quite come up with the handle on the basketball. This is the last play of regulation, and I thought the game's over. When he got a hold of the ball, and he just couldn't hang on,
Why does that happen, Paul?
Like, I just thought – I thought he was going to dunk it, too.
When I saw it, I initially thought maybe he got fouled.
Trying to get cute.
I thought he got fouled initially
fast. I thought he was trying to get cute and spin.
But if you look, Anthony Davis kind of nudges him right there on the body.
Yeah, on the right.
So that could have been a foul right there.
Hit him with
look,
the right
look at
elbow.
Him right there, nudged him. And that's the reason he falls. But still, Giannis is such a great
finisher.
Got two
hands on it. Like, I just thought... In the air, when the alley-oop's in the air, I just thought, well, he's going to dunk it. The game's going to be over.
Maybe he thought he was in the layup line or something pregame. Yeah.
No, I mean, he got nudged right there. So, I mean, easily could have been called a foul. But Giannis, you know, he got good hands. He's supposed to go up and dunk that. Yeah.
I don't know. He didn't have much of a night, especially at a terrible second half.
Yeah.
All right. Then let's go to Keyshawn's favorite moment. It's the end of the first overtime. Let's see the block where AD blocked Dame. Dame started to hesitate because he wasn't making his three ball. So then he drives it to his left. And I thought this was pretty much a bad idea by Dame.
He stayed until
the last second, and then he got it. And he said for a moment he thought it was going to be called a goaltend, but I did not. He got it on the way up.
See, games like this gives me confidence that the Celtics can get to the finals if they see the Bucks. In the conference finals.
Yeah, okay.
Come on.
Because
now. They give up. No contender. Skip's key. No real contender gives up a 19-point lead on their home court.
No.
It but just doesn't happen.
Well, that was at Atlanta.
I mean, it was one of the greatest teams of all time.
No, not y'all, meaning the Celtics this year.
Yeah.
They didn't.
I mean, they just gave up a 30-point lead at Atlanta, right?
What?
On the road.
On the road. They also lost at home.
We was bored. We beat teams by 20 every night.
You bored in November?
We beat teams. Who we lose to in November up 19?
No, I'm saying at home, y'all lost to a Laker team there. I don't know if it was in November.
So, Paul, that last shot by Dame, can't you get a better shot than that? Because it's just like a bad idea, a running left-handed hook.
I'm shocked Dame didn't go to a step back.
Yeah, I know, because that's what he does.
That's a shot.
Yeah, but he didn't have his stroke and his rhythm last night, so he just said, I guess I got to drive this and shoot a left-handed running hook. I thought it had no shot at all.
No.
All right. So then let's go to the shot of the night, the closer. Keyshawn says he can't be the closer, but the Austin Reaves
it's
makes it three.
It's LeBron's team. This he ain't letting him close.
38 seconds left in the game, in the second overtime, and he just said, give me the ball, and I got this. Give me the ball, and if you're going to give me this shot, and it was deep, it was 29 feet, and he rips it. And that's the first time they had the three-point lead right there. And then they were able just to free throw him to death.
Even Milwaukee is like, he with us. Look at them. They ain't even running out there. They just standing there.
He already got 26.
But they not even trying to defend him. Yep. But no, Skip, he can shoot the ball well. He's done. He's gotten better each time you look at him. But it's LeBron's team.
Yep.
LeBron ain't getting ready to let him close.
Yeah, I understand.
It's not in his DNA.
All right, then. The next play is Giannis gets fouled, and Giannis goes to the line. You could see LeBron on sidelines just like, oh, he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. And what did Giannis do? He was 1 of 4 from the free throw line at this point. And he winds up the game 1 of 6 with Clank a little short.
Back to the original Giannis.
And
he with us.
Back iron.
He with us.
All right.
Oh, no.
Giannis. 1 of 6 from the free throw line. Well, there it is. That's his Achilles heel or feel. And here came the Lakers. And I'll just show you I love them from the free throw line last night. Here are the last 4 free throws because they needed D'Lo and AD to hit these free throws. You just got to make them. And these are as clutch as you get. Boom. And then AD goes. These are big time because Beasley had hit a big three that suddenly gave them a little bit of life. And AD, to his credit, makes both of those. He's missed some of those in his career.
See, and now I'm saying, like, when you see this, when I continue to see this, like, what do you do the Lakers need? What do the Lakers need?
They'll get Vanderbilt back, probably.
And that would help. And one thing about Jared Vanderbilt, he doesn't have to be an offensive rotational guy where you don't have to really find him on the offense. All he needs to do is come in and play defense. So it'll help their defense a little bit if he can get 15 minutes on defense.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So you saw championship pieces all over the place.
They have everything they need.
Hey, Rui can play, too.
They have everything they need
Rui plays
right
big.
There.
He plays strong.
They have all the ingredients.
But if what you're saying, Paul, is true, that LeBron needs to pull back some of the stuff a little bit, we ain't going to be a championship team because that's not going to happen.
Well, there you have it then.
It's not going to happen. It's already embedded in his DNA.
Are you already blaming LeBron for what's going to happen? Saying they just can't, they're going nowhere with LeBron?
I'm not going to blame LeBron, nor am I going to say they're not going nowhere with LeBron, because we both know that's a lie.
Okay.
What I'm saying, if Paul's recipe is for them to be successful, get to Denver and get to Boston, since Boston's coming out of the East, and most likely Denver and the Lakers could play each other, it's going to be hard if you expect LeBron to just give up.
Okay, so you're saying his DNA will get in the way.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
Absolutely. That's everybody, all great players, at the end of the day, they're not deferring to certain people in certain times and situations. Okay? Michael Jordan shot the ball and pushed B. Russ. Okay. He wasn't giving it to no damn Scottie Pippen.
How did Peyton Manning win his last Super Bowl?
Well, that was a deep. He was a shell of himself.
Okay, but he.
Yeah,
he
but LeBron didn't. Ain't a shell of himself.
Okay.
Though.
All right.
That's the difference.
All right.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo. is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Now there are multiple reports that Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott have an understanding that his contract will not be extended before next season. Keyshawn, I'm assuming you think this is a really bad idea.
I think it's a good and a bad idea. Does that make sense?
Not yet. Go.
It's a bad idea because it's a risk. It's a risk. You are getting ready to allow a guy who's been consistent across the board at the quarterback position since he's entered the National Football League as a starter. He has won games. He's gone to playoffs. He's led the league in touchdowns. I can go on and on statistically. Just over the last 3 seasons, you talk about passer ratings the last 3 seasons, at least 30 starts. Dak Prescott, number one, followed by Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Tua, and Patrick Mahomes. Last 3 seasons in touchdowns, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Dak Prescott.
Okay.
Wins in the season in the last 3 seasons. Dak Prescott sits at number 4 with 31. You say, well, what does all that mean? We don't have a championship. You know, what does all that mean? We don't have a championship. That's what you'll tell me. Mm. And what I'll say to you is, that's correct. And here's where it's fair. Because if I'm Jerry Jones, and I'm paying a quarterback $50+ million, and I can't win a championship, I may not want to continue to keep investing in that. But there's a risk. Mm. Because there's about 10 teams that'll probably be looking for quarterbacks next season, maybe 8 teams, that'll really be looking for a quarterback via the draft, free agency, and all those things. He will be the number one quarterback available
good
by far
good
on the open market.
Kirk Cousins.
Whatever you want to slide him on, whatever. If you're willing to run the risk of him performing the same way he's performed his entire career, you win the division, win 12, 13 games, put up big numbers, go to a Pro Bowl, make an All-Pro, possibly be in the MVP conversation or win the MVP, and you, at the end of the day, say, we're not going to do this for you right now. We want you to wait, and we'll give you the world if you deliver. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to do that, that's a risk that you're going to take. Because in the end, he's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder, and he's going to feel a certain way about how you're treating him. Mm-hmm. And when the time comes up for him to get that deal, and he tells you, never mind, because you can't franchise tag. There's nothing you can do. He's going to walk out the door. A person and a player that you've developed for 8+ years that you drafted, you developed, you made, walks out the door and decides to go to the Washington Commanders or whatever. Mm. You're willing to take that risk. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good
luck. That's on you. That's on you. Because I'm telling you, they're going to be lined up in the National Football League.
Good.
To sign Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. And then, so you're willing to just blow things up in Dallas after this season and move on from Mike McCarthy, who is playing on an expired contract, Dak Prescott, an expiring contract. Mm-hmm. You're willing to just say, never mind, we don't want a quarterback.
Yep.
When people are starving in this league to get quarterbacks that can play this at this level.
Yep. This will be win-win for me. Because speaking of chip on shoulder pads, now we put Dak Prescott on the hot seat. Now we've turned up the fire under Dak Prescott and said, show us. Jerry finally saw the light and said, you know what? I'm tired of throwing good money after bad, because Dak Prescott has given us over eight seasons as Dallas Cowboys quarterback, two playoff wins in the wild card round, Keyshawn. He's won two games in the wild card round. He has not won a divisional game. He obviously has not even played in, nor obviously won, an NFC championship game. Two in the wild card in 8 years to make him 2-5 in the postseason. And each of the last 3 years, we ingloriously exited the playoffs as Dak stunk in each of those three season-ending playoff losses, to the point that CeeDee Lamb's mother tweeted, Dak ain't it. And I am so with her. She is a smart woman, because Dak ain't it. If your goal is to go win a Super Bowl, Dak ain't it. But let's see what he's got. Let's put him on the hot seat this year and say, show us what you got. And then let's just say he goes to New Orleans and wins the Super Bowl. And then he says, screw you, Jerry, I'm out. I'll be a happy camper because I got what I wanted. I'll take the Super Bowl and he can go to the Commanders.
But it ain't about you.
Yeah. Well, I'm speaking as a fan.
It ain't about you.
Yeah, but I'm lifelong diehard. I'm since 10 years old.
So you ready to win one championship and then sit around for another 30 years and complain?
I don't care. We'll start over. I'll take the one championship because I haven't even sniffed an NFC championship game in almost 30 years.
Okay, let's say you
years.
Don't win a championship, you go to an NFC championship game.
Yeah.
And you happen to lose because the defense lets you down and the guy has a 60-yard walk-off field goal.
Yeah, well,
you want Dak gone
take
too?
Take that, yeah.
Yeah, you still want him gone.
Well, let's see how that plays
you
out.
You still would. Well, I'm asking you a question today in real time.
Okay.
Do you still want him gone?
No, I think he
because he'll walk because what you just did, regardless of what he does in the postseason, he's going to tell you bye bye.
Okay, good.
I'm just telling you what's going to happen.
Okay, I'm just telling you what my gut feeling is.
Feelings are going to get involved.
My gut feeling is that right here, right now, I don't think this team can make the playoffs. That's what I believe.
That's a far stretch, though, Skip.
No, it's not a far
stretch. That's a far stretch.
Look at all the players we have lost and all the salary.
Who did you lose?
Tyron Smith, Tony Pollard.
They moved Tyron Smith to left tackle. Van Der Esch couldn't play.
Yes, he could.
He could not.
I mean, when he could play, he could play.
You're liking from Boise. I get it.
No,
he couldn't play.
No, he definitely. He made a Pro Bowl.
I'm not talking about multiple years ago.
Okay,
I'm talking about last season.
I know, but we've lost
that. The last couple seasons, he's just been a guy.
Michael Gallup. And then
Michael Gallup couldn't play.
Dorrance Armstrong could play. Dante Fowler could play. And Hankins could play. And Neville Gallimore could play. I just keep going, bam, 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 bam.
You got salary cap issues. Everyone's number increases from last year. You guys have increased about $65 million.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott went from 23 to 55. Mm-hmm. Okay?
But
so when you start looking at the numbers, CeeDee Lamb went from $4.5 million to $18 million in cap charge.
Speaking of that guy, we got one guy on this team who can flat out play. One guy I trust, and it's 88.
So Micah can't play now?
Okay. This is interesting to me because I have yet to see Micah come up big in a really big game.
That's fair.
And I saw interesting to me. I was watching.
He's still young.
Jory Epstein does a really nice job for Yahoo Sports, and she's covered the Cowboys for a while. I saw a clip where she was talking on one of her podcasts. She said she talked to a defensive coach in the league who's talking about Micah Parsons and that he'd made a really good point. And this is true. I'm going to bring it up because it's a bullseye. When the Cowboys are winning and front-running, Mike has had some big games. He's had some big sack games against inferior opponents. But seriously, every big game, every big playoff-type game, such as the Green Bay game at home, he doesn't show up for those games. So do you want to pay him? Sure, you have to pay him, but you're like, I don't know. Is he that guy? No,
so
well, seriously.
You have reservation.
Well, I do.
Whether or not
who wouldn't?
You want to pay Micah Parsons.
Okay, he had his worst stats of any game of his career against Green Bay, his worst pass rushing stats.
Okay.
And I think what that defensive coach told her is valid. That's what we've seen so far, and he's still a baby. You can argue to me, but we've seen 3 years.
Okay.
And I think
and he's giving you double-digit sacks in every single year.
All right, but he tails the last 5-6 games of the year, and he's done it routinely.
Does he need to do some things in crucial situations to dispel the notion that he is not the player that he was picked to be?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe so.
Everybody's going to arrive at some point. If you're telling me 2 years from now he's the same guy as he is this year, then you got me.
Yeah.
But I don't think that that's going to be the case. Yeah. I think you learn from whatever little mistakes you have.
I hope so.
And you grow from that.
And
you get better.
I hope he literally grows into a man body, because he's a little light in the britches, just a little bit. He needs to pack on a little. He said he gained 10 pounds of muscle weight last year. I didn't see the impact of it. He's just winning on quickness. And over time, he gets worn down by the 350-pound bull elephants who are blocking him.
Sometimes it's scheme.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's teams taking you out because
yeah.
they do things that will take you out. Everybody's not going to be perfect every single game, Skip. But to sit up here and try to kind of dance around the idea of not paying Micah Parsons.
No.
You already don't want to pay the quarterback.
That's the one where I will close my eyes and plunge on Micah and hope that he starts to figure it out. And it might be more mental than physical at some point. You just have to learn how to do it.
So if you got Trayvon Diggs,
mm-hmm.
you got Bland, you got Michael Parsons, you got Kirst and all the other guys on the defensive side.
Malik Hooker, yeah.
Malik Hooker, mm-hmm. all of them. Defense ain't really losing nobody. Lawrence is still there, okay?
A lot of pass rush depth.
Yeah, but they can replace that depth. That's what they do for cheaper. They go out and they replace it via the draft or late free agency into the summer.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
I know.
Offensively, you got a makeshift offensive line that you're not sure about, but you still got...
I didn't mention we lost Biotish. We lost a really good center.
Yeah, okay? But you still got top receiver.
Yep.
Nice compliment at number two. A nice tight end that came into his own.
He did.
A Jake top
Ferguson.
Six quarterback.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is find another running back.
Where did top six come from? Statistically or in overall performance? That guy, all those numbers you threw at me?
I'm just comparing. I'm throwing these numbers at you because I'm letting you see the other quarterbacks. The Jets ain't talking about getting rid of Aaron Rodgers. The Cincinnati Bengals ain't talking about getting rid of Joe Burrow.
No.
The Miami Dolphins ain't talking about getting rid of Tua. And we already know what Kansas City ain't talking about. But... the Dallas Cowboys are talking about, we don't want this guy because he fails in the playoffs.
Mm.
Well, Aaron Rodgers fails in the playoffs, too, and they gave up a handsome ransom of money to go get him. Joe Burrow, he's still incomplete because he got to the Super Bowl, but he's got more left on the bone. Tua failed in the playoffs, too, multiple times. Okay? And Miami ain't talking about getting rid of him.
Mm.
This is all I'm trying to tell. Josh Allen, last 3 years, 100 touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes, 105, Dak Prescott, 96.
Mm.
Buffalo ain't talking about getting rid of Josh Allen.
No, he's better than Dak.
And
he's just better than Dak. You know it, and I know it.
He fails in the playoffs. Your mm-hmm. argument with me is the man is 2-4, 2-5.
5.
2-5 in the playoffs. That's what that's what your argument is.
Yeah.
I just know that Josh Allen ain't won no Super Bowl and ain't been to one.
Nope.
So what's the difference between him and Dak Prescott?
You know what the difference is? We're the Dallas Cowboys and they're the Buffalo Bills. That's what the difference is. And
I'm talking about the player.
Okay.
I'm not talking about the team or the logo.
Keyshawn.
Or the city. I'm just talking about the player.
Next year, what team will have the top 5 TV ratings in games next year?
But that's the team.
It'll
be America's team. That's the circus that comes with the Cowboys.
Is it the circus?
It's the circus.
It's the
celebrity owner. Okay, the celebrity general manager. It's America's team. Everybody wants to watch the Dallas Cowboys because they want to watch them fall on their face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what people want.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about that. I just want to know you want to get rid of a quarterback in these other teams that this quarterback is in the same line with. They're not trying to get rid of their quarterback. They're trying to keep their quarterback and build around them.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the most valuable team in the world right now?
Dallas Cowboys.
It's like by far the most valuable team.
Yeah.
Okay.
What does that have to do with him?
Okay, so I've been around long enough that I watched actually the Dallas Cowboys play in a whole bunch of Super Bowls and win 5 of them.
Okay.
5 out of 8. And I watched Don Meredith play at a really high level, couldn't quite get it done. But then I watched Roger Staubach just take it completely over the top. And I watched Troy Aikman win 3 Super Bowls. So I know what that feels like and tastes like and smells like. And Dak ain't it. If we are that team, we got to go get that guy at that position because it's by far the most important position in all of sports. And we don't have that guy. We have a 4th-round pick that we lucked into, and he plays for a 4th-round pick at a very high level. And we've won 12 games a year for 3 straight years. And what do we have to show for
it? How many first-round picks? Just off the top of your head, how many first-round picks have won Super Bowls, man?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter what round you're in. Yeah. That's over with. That's only in April. I mean,
too many times he turns back into a 4th-rounder when you need him the most. Like at San Francisco on a Sunday night in a regular season game, he throws 3 picks and we lose 42-10.
They got your number.
Right? And at Buffalo,
they got your number.
He got blown off the field. They ran the football. But Dak was pretty miserable in that game and we lost 31-10. We even lost a game at Arizona, 28-16, and Dak
don't
stunk.
Play defense.
Yeah, but he stunk in that game.
Your defense gave up 222 yards, man. Your vantage defense that you told me when I first started working with you, it's the number one defense. We got the number one player. All the things that you say, and they go 2 weeks into the season and go to Arizona. Oh, but that's right, because Trayvon Diggs got hurt, so it affected the entire team.
It did.
Okay.
There was a cloud hanging over the team.
All right. Then the curse was lifted because Jimmy went into the Ring of Honor. The curse was lifted.
It felt like it. And we lucked out against Detroit.
You're going to run out of excuses about why y'all can't advance. Because when Dak Prescott is gone and he's playing for the Raiders or some other team, you'll be sitting there going, I wish we had Dak Prescott. I wish we had Dak Prescott.
I will never, ever say that.
Okay.
Trust me. And if Jerry Jones is the general
manager, this is why I can't wait till football season start.
Okay, good.
So I can walk in here and laugh and every week at you and Michael.
As I was trying to say, if Jerry Jones is half of the GM that he says he is and thinks he is, he'll go find a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. It is doable because I see it happen fairly regularly. Let's just go find a quarterback. There are Brock Purdy's out there. Maybe Trey Lance is Brock Purdy. You never know. Maybe if he gets a shot with a change of scenery, he's going to be a whole different guy.
Maybe so. Maybe he's Jordan Love. Take that chance.
How did they find Jordan Love?
Just go draft the guy. Huh? Just do that. Huh. Why not?
Interesting. Well, it worked for Green Bay. All right, back to Paul Pierce, back to the NBA. Mavericks are taking off. Kings are nosediving, especially at home. Next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Uh-oh, here come Luka and Kyrie and the Mavericks, who won for the 9th time in 10 games last night at Sacramento, as the Kings are now shockingly 8-8 in their last 16 home games. What? Mavs won the second half of this game 74-43, and Luka scored only 2 points in that second half. That moved Dallas a game ahead of the Kings into the 6th in the West, meaning out of the play-in. Now the Kings and Suns are tied for 7th, only 2 games ahead of the Lakers in 9th. So, Paul, what did this game last night at Sacramento tell you?
It told me if Sacramento can play defense, they got a shot. You got 2 unstoppable forces that you can't stop off the dribble, and Kyrie and Luka Doncic.
Oh, you're talking about Dallas.
That's what they told me. They can play. If you hold Sacramento Kings to 96 points, what Sacramento average a game? Sacramento is scoring 116 points a game. So you held them to 20 under their average. Dallas was a team earlier in the year before the trade that you can just lay down the lane and just score on them. Now, since the trade, they play some defense. They're the hottest team in the league. and you have Luka Doncic playing at an MVP level. Skip, this is about as wide open of a conference I've ever seen the West.
I agree.
You know, outside the Nuggets, who I believe are head and shoulders in the seven-game series are better, but they're an ankle sprain away from it being completely open.
Yep.
Dallas can beat Thunder in a seven-game series. I mean, it's no gimme. They can beat the Timberwolves, Clippers versus Dallas, New Orleans, Sacramento, Phoenix, Lakers, Golden State. Dallas can match up with all of them. So I think it's all going to be about who they match up with. If they can, like, everybody has to avoid Denver. Whoever avoids Denver, everybody, you know, and maybe get lucky in the conference finals, then you got a shot. But if they defend at this level with Luka and Kyrie, finally showing me they got some chemistry.
They do.
Like, last year, I didn't really see the chemistry between them two. Now they figured it out, and they have a shot as long as they can continue to play some defense. And I mean, 96 points is like, I mean, that's like giving up in our era 70. Like, it seems if you don't get 100 today, then that's a bad offensive night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to go crazy over the Mavs in this situation. They played the Kings at home, number one.
But 9 out of 10 is 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10 is 9 out of 10. But you just played the Kings. We're having this conversation based on last night, okay? Based on what the 96 points that they surrendered to the Kings, this is why we're having the conversation. So I'm not going to get like, they can do this and they can do that. Well, they certainly have been playing well. There's no question about it. Kyrie and Luka together. Kyrie went crazy in the second half, in particular in the fourth quarter when I looked up and saw him still in the game and they up by 20. I was like, come on, man. What are you doing, J-Kid? But in the end, it's going to come down to the matchups and defensively. And when you look at the teams that they got to face, that they potentially could face, offensively, can they slow down the Clippers? Can they slow down the Clippers' offense if they get cooking with those three dudes? Probably not.
No, the Clippers don't got no chemistry right now.
But I'm saying if they get the cooking, you don't think they can slow them down. Then when I look at the Suns, if Bradley Beal, along with KD and Book, those three offensive guys that will try to play some defense, if they get the cooking, can you slow them down?
But they lined up with the Wolves right now. They lined up with the Timberwolves.
I understand.
They started today. What you think? Can they beat the Wolves?
Well, I don't know if where's Cat at?
We don't know. He's
that's a problem.
He's out. That's what
so
I'm saying.
If he comes back, then I think they line up pretty good with the Wolves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Otherwise, if Cat gone, they probably gonna run through him.
So their path right now is today. They line up good with the Wolves. Second round, Oklahoma City.
If Oklahoma City get out of the first
round. Yeah, but you know, if Oklahoma City say matches up with Phoenix or Sacramento, There's a path for them to get to the conference finals. Mm.
I just don't see it when you don't play defense.
They're playing defense. Look at this. Over their last eight games, they've given up the four fewest points.
Okay, can that continue though?
This is since the trade, Key. They made a trade to enhance their defense. You know, they brought in some athletes.
They did.
To where you
PJ
got guys.
Washington.
Yeah, Washington.
Yeah.
And it's added and to their defense. Yeah. This is a different team.
Yeah, I'm not I know we like Luka and all that. We like Kyrie,
All-Star.
But I'm not buying into them meeting with the Nuggets in the Western Conference Final. I'm just not all buying into it.
I'm going to start with the Kings because Keyshawn and I are prisoners of watching Kings-Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings own the Lakers. And Sabonis is Kareem Abdul-Sabonis against the Lakers, right? I mean, he just like, I can't even, like last night, I couldn't recognize him. De'Aaron Fox is like Allen Iverson against the Lakers because they have no answer for him whatsoever. He's like a left-handed Iverson and just destroys them. The Kings destroyed the Lakers. They've beaten them 7 out of 8 times, and the 7 weren't even close. And then I look at what they've been doing at home over the last couple of months. These are the teams the Kings lost at home to. They lost to Detroit at home.
Oh, that's bad.
Miami at home, Bulls at home, Rockets at home, Knicks at home. And then last night, they got blown off their home court by the Mavericks, 74-43 in the second half. And in the second half of that game, De'Aaron Fox went 0-for-6 and Sabonis went 0-for-3. And they scored 4 points and 3 points, respectively. It's just like, who are you? They're the weirdest team in pro basketball because some nights I look at them and they look deep and explosive and offensively, as you say, and I say, they're going to be a problem for somebody, and yet they're only a problem for the Lakers.
Yeah.
Right? I don't get it. So I write them off. I don't think they're going to be any factor unless they manage to fall into a Laker thing. And then I still believe that if LeBron and AD finally say, okay, that's enough, I think they could say that's enough against Sacramento.
In seven games.
That's why we say that this is going to be a playoffs about matchups. Don't even worry about the seeding. Just because the higher seed is a higher seed with a better record, are you favoring Oklahoma versus the Lakers? Say, like, Golden State gets in. Do you favor Golden State or Minnesota versus them? You know, outside of Denver in the first round, which will get out the first round, these other teams at the top, they're far from favorites to me.
All right. Now, back to the Mavericks. And you say you're not buying. But listen, to Paul's point, Luka and Kyrie have made peace with each other. And it was rocky last year because Luka would pout in the fourth quarters, but he would pout like, oh, you want him to be the closer? Let him shoot the ball in the fourth quarter. Now they're 50-50 in fourth quarters, and you want to talk about cooking? No backcourt can cook like they can cook. When they both get going, there's nothing like them because they are truly two unstoppable offensive talents. And they are, to Paul's point, playing some defense, and P.J. Washington has helped them. And last night he was pretty good because he had 13 rebounds. So he's given them some toughness, some physicality, as the kid Lively is, that they didn't have before. And Tim Hardaway can still just flat fill it up, and he filled it up last night. So they are very dangerous to me because their chemistry is starting to cook.
Yeah.
And Jason Kidd is good at what he does, and I think he's got them in a good place. They're very dangerous because they're just hard to defend.
What's their ceiling? Yeah. What's their ceiling?
Second round?
With Luka Doncic?
Mm. I mean, He went to the Western Conference Final a couple years
ago.
He
did.
Yep.
Jalen Brunson was there, not the same Jalen Brunson that's with the Knicks, but that was several years ago. Other teams have.
I think he was the same, but he just didn't get.
Maybe
the ball.
That may be the case. He was, but he looks a lot better.
Yeah.
Because he has opportunity, but I think second round.
I mean, if they can continue to play at this level, Key. I mean, they're unstoppable offensively. Unstoppable, but the defensive numbers is what you got to look at for them. This is shocking me because I told you this was a team earlier in the year. You could just go lay the ball up whenever you wanted to, go dunk the ball, and now I'm seeing that they're defending the three. They're defending, holding opponents to the second lowest field goal percentage over this stretch. So if they can play at this level and they're peaking at the right time, I always talk about this. In the NBA, you have an 82-game season. There's ebbs and flows throughout the course of the season. You want to be playing your best basketball right now. Going into April, you want to have a rhythm. You want to be healthy no matter what goes on during the season because that type of stuff carries over into the playoffs.
It does.
It's hard to just turn it on once you hit the playoffs and say, oh, we're coming off a three-game losing streak and then hit the playoffs. Where's your confidence? It doesn't carry over. So you want to be playing well going into the playoffs, and Dallas is going to be a scary team once the playoffs start if they can continue with this defensive intensity they're playing at, and we already know what they can do offensively with Kyrie and Luka.
Since the All-Star break, Luka is top five in deflections. And I know he can't on-ball defend, like feet on the floor, get in your face, defend.
But he's long.
And he's savvy. He's going back to the great Larry Bird. Larry Bird couldn't really defend anybody, but could he get his hands in the passing lane and deflect
balls? That's IQ. Yeah. IQ. Yeah. He understands timing and hand-eye. He got a good high IQ players.
Yeah. So they are a factor.
That will be a factor. You got about seven teams. You got seven teams in the West that can get to the finals.
I'm more scared of the Pelicans than I am the Mavericks.
You got seven teams in the West that can get to the finals.
God, the West is.
I've never heard of that. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, this is as fascinating as this has ever been.
Yeah. You got a player. You got two. You're going to have three playoff teams look like they can possibly get to the finals.
What seven teams you think can make it?
All the way from Oklahoma City, Minnesota. I'm not sure about the Pelicans, Dallas Mavericks, Phoenix, Lakers, Golden State. Mm. They can all make a run to the finals. They can all make a run.
So it's everybody. You don't think the Suns got action?
I'm not sure about the Suns. Yeah, I put the Suns in there. I did put the Suns in. I don't put the I mean, the Clippers can get hot. They shown you can get hot. I don't know. It's just
Clippers can get hot.
I think they're all in the same boat. Think about it. I think they're all in the same boat. Denver is the only one I feel is head and shoulders above everybody. Everybody else is in the same boat. Just because Oklahoma, Minnesota are second and third.
So Denver, in your opinion, will be one of the last two standing in the West.
If they stay healthy, health will be a factor in this playoffs.